and welcome to another episode of Swans Cast. Luke McManus, I'm back.
You're back?
I'm back.
I thought we only said 2 weeks.
But we did.
You've taken another week without consulting me and whipped off to Samoa of all places.
Yeah, I did. I did. Look, I did have a cheeky week off. I checked the leave balance with the people at the HR department of Swans Cast. I've taken a leave without pay. So I'm back. Samoa was beautiful. I got some sun. We're going through a bit of a cold snap here in the east coast of Australia and had to get away from it and get some sun, get some vitamin D. So the tan's faded already, but I'm back and I'm excited because footy in the meantime, the wheels have just kept turning and the Swan train has just continued to roll on.
Did you catch the Swans game while you were over there?
I did. It was coming through Fiji and routed off 100 different satellites, but I still managed to watch the Swannies game, and I did catch the round 15 result against the Brisbane Lions. So let's have a chat about it because I have seen it. I've done my research. I know you're checking on me, Luke, but I'm across it, mate. I'm across it. The Swans, 10-10-70, defeating the Brisbane Lions 7-7-49. By 21 points, probably a bit of a patchy performance. You know, it was. It's always a tough slog to go up there and play the Lions at home at the Gabba. They're a team that's capable of, you know, surprising anybody on their day, and it was a bit of a slog there for the Swannies.
Well, the last couple of weeks prior to taking on the Swannies, you know, they held on against Frio up until three quarter time. I think it was Adelaide as well that they held on until three quarter time, only to fade in that last quarter. Which is what happened for the third week in a row. Now, you can really see what they're trying to put in place at the Lions. And, geez, their crowd was really appreciative of that performance. They, you know, they received a round of applause as they left the ground. You know, it's a performance that they shouldn't be disappointed about. I think it's more so that the Swans should be a little bit disappointed in that performance. You know, they were really... The Lions really took it up to the Swans, and it wasn't until probably a little bit after half time we were able to wrestle some momentum back, and obviously run away with the win.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was the Brisbane Lions are a developing side, and they are starting to push some of those top teams. But in the end, as Coach John Longmire mentioned during his press conference, he was just happy to get away with the win.
Positives is a win, mate. That's pretty important. It's a real. I mean, if you're looking for a positive to come out of it, that's the main number one positive that coaches look for. And sometimes you just got to play to, you know, if you're not going as well as what you'd like to go, you've just got to find a way. And we're able to do that. There's some. You know, we know we can get better. We need to get better, and we'll be working on getting better. But I was pleased on the fact that we were able to find a way to win and dig in.
At the end of the day, it was another 4 points. A couple of important players out of that side, mind you, missing Gary Rowan with that hamstring and Teddy Richards with the concussion. So, you know, it was not a full-strength Sydney Swans side, but what I'm excited about, the Swans finally have a Mark of the Year contender. Luke Parker. Finally, after how many rounds? 15 rounds. We've got numerous Goal of the Year contenders. I think Parks has actually got... He's got two Goal of the Year contenders. He's got that little drop kick off the ground.
And that big barrel from the middle of the ground
exactly.
that slid through.
So now, Swans fans, if you haven't already done so, make sure you head over to markoftheyear.afl.com.au and vote for Luke Parker's mark. Because I've seen Luke Parker, what he's driving around. We need to get him a new car. And at this rate, we could get him two new cars. So if you haven't already done so, get on over there and vote for him.
He's got some stiff competition because the other two marks were really impressive. And
I don't care, Luke. I don't care. I don't care about Dylan Buckley's going back Ruwald-esque mark. I don't care. And I don't know who the other mark was. Do you know?
Sean Edwards.
Oh, right. What did he do?
Was it good? It was an impressive mark. But
nothing on Parks.
We're biased on Swans Cast.
Absolutely.
So. All Swannies, all Parks.
I'm going to give you that markoftheyear.afl.com.au. Vote for Luke Parker's Mark of the Year nomination for round 15. All the fancy stuff aside, horses, heroes. How'd you see the performance of the boys from round 15, Luke?
Yeah, well, I've got three. Notable performances that I want to single out for horses, heroes. Now, as we always say, that horses, heroes isn't about the possessions or, you know, the fancy the fancy touches.
No, it's about the team stuff.
It's about the team stuff. So, Kurt Tippett.
Tippo.
Coming back from a one-match suspension, shouldered the ruck duties, mm-hmm. especially in that final term where Pikey was obviously substituted out. Tippo carried us in that last quarter and even capped it off with a goal.
Mm-hmm.
A really desperate performance or desperate run into the 50 and, you know, dived and grasped it and then went back and had the composure to slot the goal. To finish with three goals, got us off to a great start with our opening first two goals.
And up against a very strong ruckman in Matthew Leuenberger.
Matthew Leuenberger. Well. We might have... I think we did win the hitouts. Tippo had about 30 of them. Yeah, so it was a really good performance from Tippo. So I'm giving him one vote.
Sure.
Jakey Lloyd. Yeah, and for two small incidences which have earned him two votes.
Mm-hmm.
He within the first 10 minutes or so, he copped first of all a solid bump from. Daniel Merritt.
That was a heavy hit. There was a
heavy
hit. Daniel Merritt's a big boy.
And he's
too.
A big boy. Yeah. And Jakey felt it, but got straight back up.
Yep.
So, you know, a tick goes to Jakey Lloyd there.
Yep.
And then it was about 5 minutes later, he's copped a knee to the kidneys, gone down as well, and then got straight back up. So that's another tick, and I'm giving him two votes.
You're giving him two votes?
Two votes.
Two votes for every time he copped one.
Basically.
A vote for every time he copped one.
And he was a very sore boy afterwards. Yeah. I went up to him later, and he was a sorry sight. And I'm giving... Now, I know I said we're not all about the possessions, but Joey Kennedy.
Yeah.
A career-high 41 possessions.
41 disposals. Nine tackles.
He's in a superb or a rich vein of form.
Yeah.
Next to Hanbury this year. He's solid. Been really solid. So Joey Kennedy, two votes to him.
Right. Well, look, the only other name I will throw into the mix was Dan Hanbury because, you know, another superb game. He is just... I've heard that there's rumours of, well, not rumours, it's fact, some sports betting agencies have actually paid out on Nat Fyfe for the Brownlow medal, which you can understand if you've seen Nat Fyfe's performances this year. But I tell you what...
I'd be pretty dirty if...
Dan Hanbury...
If I was Dan.
He is having one of the great seasons of any midfielder.
Maybe I was a bit over... You know, about giving Jakey Lloyd...
Maybe Jakey Lloyd doesn't get
a vote
two.
Each for his whacks, but maybe just a vote.
Let's give him half a vote
half
for each
a vote
weight.
For each whack.
So he gets... We'll give Jakey Lloyd a vote. Tippo gets a vote. Can we squeeze Hannah's in for
Hannah's
a vote?
Hannah's in for a vote.
We'll squeeze Hannah's in for a vote.
And then you can't go past Joey with his 41 possession
game.
So, two votes.
So there's the round 15 Horses Heroes. Two votes to Josh Kennedy. And one vote apiece to Jake Lloyd, Dan Hanbury, and Kurt Tippett.
Because we've had a bit of a break, we'll tally them up next week and we'll give you a leaderboard.
Absolutely. Time to look ahead to the round 16 clash. It's 3rd v. 4th. ANZ Stadium, Saturday night. Swanies taking on the Hawks. It's another grand final rematch. It is, and coming off the back, Swan's probably not coming off the best performance they've had all year, but another win. And the Hawks basically absolutely smashing top of the ladder Fremantle. Just took them apart last weekend.
I didn't know what I was watching.
It was you wouldn't have, if you're watching that as your first game of AFL for the year, there is no way you would have said Fremantle were a top of the ladder team. Because Hawthorn just decimated
them. Made them look second rate.
And did it all without Jared Ruffett.
Which is an incredible performance because you know how dynamic and, I suppose, versatile Jared Ruffett can be.
Well, he's their Kurt Tippett.
He is.
He's capable of running through the ruck. He's dangerous when the ball hits the deck and he can play deep up forward. So.
And he's so accurate and so potent down to that forward line and can float back as well. So it's just an all-round performer.
And we do hope all is okay with Ruffy.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's missed a couple of weeks with that skin cancer being cut out of his lip. So we hope all is well there for Ruffy. But... Due to their percentage, it's a real danger game for the Swans because due to their percentage, the Hawks could actually leapfrog the Swans into third spot if they were to win this game. But before we go into all the ins and outs and the matchups, Swans aren't a team that focuses on individual accolades. It's all about the team, but there is a big one we have to talk about this weekend, mate.
Buddy's 700th goal.
It's right there.
Only 20 players have achieved that feat before. So it's an incredible milestone to reach. And no one is more excited. Well, we're really excited here in the Swanscast studio, but
bloody excited. No one's more excited. The doors are coming off the hinges.
Get ready for it. No one's more excited than Buddy himself.
When I get to 700, we can talk about it then. I'm not saying anything.
He sounds excited, doesn't he? Sounds really,
really low key. Just really not giving anything away.
No,
at all.
Taking the win right
making sure that he actually gets that first taking before the he win. Starts discussing it.
Taking the win right out of the sails here at the Swanscast, bud. But that's all right, mate. We look typical of the Swans' attitude of all the players that, you know, not to get ahead of themselves, focus on what they do have to achieve. And look, when that moment comes, I'm sure that the Swans players on the field will come from far and wide to celebrate with Buddy. But let's have a look at the game itself. At this stage, the team has yet to be announced, but we expect Teddy Richards to be back in the side after that concussion he suffered against Port Adelaide a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, John Longmire actually expected Ted Richards to be available last weekend and be right for the trip to Brisbane. But it got down to the last training session on the Thursday and Teddy didn't feel quite right in the final training session, which I could imagine. You know, you're resting up during the week and you have the first session off and you might be thinking you're going okay, and then it gets to running around and trying to see that ball and trying to anticipate the play and all that sort of stuff that goes on at training. I can imagine it would have, it probably would have had an effect. But he's fully recovered with a few extra days off and he's raring to go.
Yeah.
I don't think there was an excited player out there, more than Richards out there on the Tuesday training session.
Yeah, look, and especially coming up against the Hawks side with a forward line that is so dangerous, and there's so many players that can hurt you in that forward line that you really do need your best back six available. You know, with Gunston and Cyril and Luke Bruce and David Hale even spending some time down resting in that forward line, it is a very dangerous forward line. So the Swans need their general Teddy Richards back there directing traffic.
It's a timely inclusion if the match committee does go with Teddy, because last time Teddy kept Jared Ruffhead to three behinds in the round 8 clash at the MCG. So he'd be ready for Jared if they welcome back Ruffhead this week, which is actually becoming more likely as the days pass. But, you know, Teddy's pretty versatile in the way that he can probably take a small as well.
And from a fan's point of view, you almost hope that Ruffhead is playing, because these are two of the best sides in the competition and you want them going head to head with all their, you know, all their cattle on deck, all their best players up and available. So
from a neutral's point of view, it's a massive game. It's a huge clash and a really highly anticipated clash. How about this though? Johnny Longmire, he was talking about the Hawks' success of late, and this is what he had to say cheekily.
We're looking at a team this week that's played, that's won the last two premierships and beat the team that's on top of the ladder by 72 points without Jared Ruffhead. This is a team that's comparable to Brisbane in the early 2000s, maybe even North Melbourne in the 90s. But this is a quality, absolute powerhouse team.
A little bit of me from Johnny Longmire there about comparing... comparing the Hawks to the Brisbane and the North Melbourne of the 90s.
Well, look, let's be honest. It was that North Melbourne of the 90s was a formidable outfit of which Horse was a big part. You know, and as although he's a coach and he's been a coach for many years, you know, it's still nice to revisit the glory days. It's still nice to think about those premiership years and the days of when you used to trot around with a bit of the strut.
The strut. Yeah. I still got it.
Now, mate, there is one matchup that I'm particularly looking forward to seeing this weekend. Nick Smith. Nick Smith v Cyril Rioli. You expect Nick, the All-Australian back pocket, to get the job on Cyril. Probably the most dangerous small forward in the competition. He had, I think, and don't quote me on this, but I believe against Collingwood, he had 10 touches for the game and kicked 5 goals. 10 touches for the game and he kicked 5 goals. So
they're saying it's the best 10 disposal game you'll ever see.
There can be no argument that that is the best 10 disposal game you'll ever see. So I'm really excited to see this one-on-one matchup.
Just a highly valuable, genuine back pocket, Nick Smith. He's just goes about his business and does it well.
So, and as I said, that's probably the matchup I'm most looking forward to seeing. The other matchup I really hope comes off at some point in the day is Lewis Jeddah v Bradley Hill. I mean, you know, it might be a case they shake hands at the start of the game and say see you at the end of the fourth quarter, but I really hope that, again, for the neutral fans, we get to see those two genuine speedsters go one-on-one. And maybe even if it's not Bradley Hill, Lewis Jeddah v Isaac Smith, because he is another speedster as well who's so damaging for the Hawks. But I really love the idea of those two boys going toe-to-toe down the wing of ANZ Stadium. It's not too far away, so if you haven't already got tickets or you're not planning on heading out there, make the effort, because it is going to be one of the games of the season.
Get out to ANZ Stadium this year. I think it's our last game at ANZ Stadium for the year. And then we've got one more year out there, and then that's it.
Not too many more opportunities to see AFL out there, Swans fans, so if you can, make the effort to get out there this Saturday night. It's 3rd v. 4th, Swans v. Hawks, grand
final, get any better.
Rematch. It's going to be a very, very
huge,
big game.
Huge. Before the seniors last week, I ventured out to, now, I've had trouble saying this, Cooperoo. I don't know, it's a suburb of Brisbane
where the Neefle
played.
Let's just say South Brisbane.
South Brisbane, which is only a stone's throw away from the Gabba.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so... Yeah. The boys, the Neefle boys, took on the Lions in an off-site curtain raiser, as you will.
So you got some great terms there, mate. Off-site curtain raiser.
I stayed there for about three quarters and then made my way to the seniors. Mm-hmm. Much to like about the boys, they bounced back from an absolute annihilation in the hands of the UWS Giants out of Blacktown, the unspeakable game that we won't speak of any longer. Yeah. They really bounced back, so they came away with a 30-point win. Top performance in that game, Isaac Heaney, for his first full game back.
29 touches
was just the general in there, alongside Brandon Jack, who was obviously sensational again.
It's amazing that you're calling a 19-year-old kid the general.
Well, he was. He really stood up in that midfield. Mm. And he just looked a class above. Yeah. And so...
What about B-Jack? How'd he go?
B-Jack was, stellar once again. He's in some great form. He deserves a senior recall very, very soon. Other performers are Toby Nankervis, obviously
Big
with
Toby.
His debut a couple of weeks ago. He was sensational again.
My favourite, Big Tobe.
So he had something like 40-odd hit-outs.
Oh, I've got the exact stats. I'm all across what Toby got done. He had 56 hit-outs.
There you go.
56 hit-outs.
I undersold him.
You undersold him. I wasn't going to let you get away with it, Luke. He had 56 hit-outs and 21 touches. And, you know, he's a big unit, so he's not a prolific ball winner, but... 56 hit-outs and 21 touches. That was a big day out for Toby.
It was a big day out. And Craig Bird was in amongst it as well. He was great. And on another note, Lloyd Perris. He obviously ruptured his ACL last year.
Yep.
About early on in the year last year, about round 12, I think it was. He's missed that entire time frame of football, so over 12 months. And he made his first appearance back last week. Came on after half time, much to the, pleasure of the coaching staff and the fitness staff, who gave him a nice round of applause when he ran on. I think he got something like 8 touches, but I think, you know, he'll be better for the ride.
For those that don't know too much about Lloyd, tell what sort of a footy player is Lloyd?
He's a small, in and under, just a really clear ball user as well. He's got a really nice kick on him, and he's just a really genuinely nice guy around the footy club too. He's one of the first to come up and say good day, and I was wrapped for him. He was an excited. Excited, you just see him like real anxious on the bench there before coming on at halftime.
Fantastic.
I obviously had a chat with one of those guys that we mentioned, Toby Nankervis. Now, at my interview with Mike Pike last week, he wanted to keep the nominations in the family, so he went with Toby Nankervis, and here's what the big Tasmanian had to say. I'm here with Toby Nankervis, second year recruit, made his AFL debut only a couple of weeks ago. How are you, Toby?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Yeah, good to be here.
Made your debut against Port a couple of weeks ago. Tell us about that moment when John Longmire told you. Did he bail you into his office?
Yeah, I come into the match committee actually, and all the coaches and leadership group were in there, and it was pretty surreal, really. It took a while to sink in, and you know, it meant a fair bit to me. Obviously, it's a dream come true, so yeah, it was awesome.
When you, obviously talk about intimidating, you walk in and all the coaches are there. What do you think? Did you have a bit of an idea going in?
Not really. Obviously, didn't really expect anyone else to be in there besides Horse, so you know, I was a bit surprised when I walked in, and it all happened pretty quickly.
When, obviously, you came in light of, obviously, Kurt Tippett and Buddy Franklin, yeah, going down or going out with suspension, when their obviously penalties were handed down, yourself being a big man, did you think, okay, here's a chance for me?
I didn't really look too much into it, to be honest. I was sort of more focused on reviewing the previous week's game that I played in the reserves and just focusing on training, but it all happened pretty quickly as well. So the sentence is obviously handed down, and I found out pretty quickly after that. I would be playing, so yeah, it was pretty good.
Did your preparation change somewhat, or is it, you know, you just go about your business the way you have been? And
it's pretty similar, really. The reserves and seniors are pretty similar. I'll pretty much exactly the same lead up to the game, and obviously preparation as well when you get there is all similar. So no, it's a pretty easy transition into the into that.
I can imagine the step up from playing NEAFL to obviously the highest stage or the highest level in football. Tell us about when you were running out into the ground against Port Adelaide in front of however many people at the SCG.
It was a massive step up. Obviously, a huge step up from NEAFL, but a lot of help around you. The other boys are really supportive, and I think they really backed me in, which made me feel pretty confident leading into the game. And I don't think I really got caught up in too much. I sort of was pretty focused on the role I had to play that night, and it was a really good win to be involved in.
Lining up for your first centre bounce, do you get nervous at all?
Obviously there was a lot of nerves there, and obviously being my first game as well, I get nervous for every game, but being my first game of AFL footy, there was a few nerves there, but it all happens pretty quickly, and you have to sort of focus on what your job at hand is. Yeah.
You kicked a goal in your first game, which not many players get to do on debut. So what were the... Talk us through the emotions when all the boys came running towards you and you kicked that. Looking back, I think you're the one that ran to them.
Yeah, I was pretty excited. I think more so it was a pretty close game at the time, and I was more so excited to just contribute to that. But to get the first goal out of the way was pretty important. Pretty exciting, I suppose, to look at after the game. Yeah.
Now, a lot's been obviously said in our office about your kicking style. You've got a very, purposeful kicking style. Is that something you've just developed over time, or is that deliberate?
Yeah, I think that one was a bit nervous and sort of exaggerated a fair bit, but I do have a little skip there before I step. I think it's just something I've always had, yeah.
You kind of glide the ball through, don't you? I don't know how to even describe it.
Yeah, I'm not sure really, yeah.
Well, it seemed to pay off that night anyway. Now, mate, going back, you overlooked in the 2012 draft. Did you ever think the AFL dream would happen?
For me, that was my first real year of having a real go at footy, and to get turned down was disappointing, but the coaches back home were pretty confident in me, and I got the opportunity to play as an overager the next year, and I had a real full pre-season. That was the first one I've ever had, really. So obviously just kept improving, and managed to play okay in the championships and got an opportunity, so I should wrap with that.
Now, you're one of only a few Tasmanians in the big leagues. You're from North Launceston.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a bit of a special bond in the competition, hailing from Tasmania?
Yeah, I have a few really good mates that are on other lists, and from probably the 2 years I was involved with Tasmania, keeping regular contact with them, and a few of them boys are going really well, which is good to see.
Do you cop any stick being from Tassie?
Not so much. Obviously, there's a lot of good Tasmanians in the AFL at the moment, which is good. So, hopefully we can get a few more.
Yeah. When Pikey nominated you, he, first of all, wanted to keep it in the family, so obviously his fellow ruckman. Yeah. But he called you something like the fishmonger or something like Tasmanian fishmonger or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not real sure about Pikey's sense of humour.
I didn't know what he was on about. How have you adjusted to life in Sydney, talking about the move up from Tassie?
Massive transition for me. Obviously, a country kid, come from Tassie, pretty quiet town. And, obviously, I love Sydney. Love the beaches, the hot weather. Really good spot where I live as well. And sort of just adjusting to the busy traffic and stuff was the biggest thing for me. But, yeah, I'm pretty used to it now, loving it.
Yeah. What's life off the field, talking about weaving in and out of traffic? Away from the club, what do you get up to?
Yeah, I try and obviously get away from footy as much as I can on my day off and stuff like that. So, just do uni on my day off and studying occupational therapy. And while sometimes it's hard to get motivated for, it's a really good distraction from footy and just get your mind off it. And it's really helped me this year.
You're one of among a few big men that the Sydney have at the moment. There's quite a few of you. In your first pre-season, you spent a lot of time working with and learning off Kurt Tippett, who's just recently kind of made that transition, had experience in rucking, but kind of made that transition and is now basically the second choice ruckman at the moment and doing quite well. Are you working closely with him? Is that continuing? And what impact has he had on the game?
I've had a lot of help from Mike Pike as well. Has been awesome. He's been really there as well all the way through for me, and he's awesome the way he... has a lot of time for me off the field as well as our pointers on the field. And especially early on, he was going through tapes and stuff with me. And I really had a massive influence in my first couple of months here at sort of that adjusting period, and I found it really hard. But Tibbo this year, like playing that forward ruck role, he's been really good as well. He's always, we do a fair bit of training together, and he's always helping me out and stuff like that. So he's been really good.
Yeah. Talking about those ruckmen, yourself, Sam Naismith, Tom Derricks, are all young developing ruckmen. Is there a strong bond between the three of you?
Yeah, obviously we do a fair bit of work on our own away from the group, especially pre-season, so we do get along pretty well, and it is pretty competitive, them drills, and we all drive each other along, which is really good, and we all improve from it.
I think there's a common held belief around the competition that the big men take a little bit longer to, I suppose, develop in their football. Do you find that, or
I probably don't try and think of it that way. I think you just try and get the most out of each session you can, just try and improve as quick as you can to get up to the level. So I have heard that before, but I don't read too much into that.
And obviously the focus is hopefully play more senior level games, I can imagine.
Yeah, definitely. I think after I sort of got that taste from it, I really want to get back into senior footy and just really keep improving and
Well, thank you, Maith. I appreciate your time. Before you go, we obviously have a who am I we do at the end of each player chat. We just kind of test your knowledge on one of your teammates. Now, you get any kind of guess. You get as many guesses as you like. And so there's about a series of questions.
Yeah.
You've got to try and knock them off. I think the record is one question. Yeah. It took Nick Smith to maybe get Harry Cunningham.
Yeah.
I was born 5th of August 1989. Not good with birthdays?
Nah, can't remember that.
I played my junior football for the Duda Stars and TAC Cup for the Calder Cannons.
Nah.
Number three, in 2007 I won the Calder Cannons Best and Fairest Award before being drafted by Geelong in the 2008 rookie draft.
How many questions
came from Geelong? there's a few more questions and they get a little bit easier.
Came from Geelong, that'd be Jeremy Laidler.
That is Jeremy Laidler. Three questions, came from Geelong. The next one, I've never polled a Brownlow vote, if you didn't know that. This year I chalked up 50 career games. The Sydney Swans is my third AFL club. My wallet is $1,000 lighter as a result of a run-in with Alan Christensen. My social's dog, Kevin, is a social media superstar, and I'm rarely seen without my selfie stick. How do you go on the old social media?
Yeah, I'm pretty quiet on there. Obviously, don't post a lot, but I don't mind having a look every now and then, yeah.
I know your fellow ruckman in Tommy Derricks likes a bit of social interaction.
Yeah, no, he's really good on there, actually. Yeah, really funny, so I enjoy looking at his posts.
He's a good man. Thank you very much, mate. Now, it's your turn to nominate a mate. Have you got someone in mind?
Yeah, I nominate Dean Towers.
Dean Towers. Dino, we're coming for you next week. You're our next guest on Swanscast. Thanks very much again, Tobe.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
All right, mate. Well, that is all we've got time for here on Swanscast today. Swans fans, we've said it once, we've said it, we implore you, get out to ANZ Stadium this Saturday night. It is going to be a belter of a game against the Hawks. You'll be out there, Macca?
I will be. I'll be roaming the boundary and taking a few snaps.
Taking a few happy snaps.
Social happy snaps and getting down into the rooms and giving the people what they want to see, and that's the boys.
You're a media superstar, mate.
Oh, I try.
For anybody who hasn't seen Luke's best work, head over to Swans TV because all that glorious off-camera interview questions is coming from the man himself.
The shaky voice and the arms and the boys and everything like that. Geez, bit of work to do.
Yeah, I'll be out there with the Triple M team as well. We'll have the director of the Swans football, one of the directors of the Swans Football Club, Brad Seymour, in the commentary box at Triple M. So hopefully it is a cracker of a game. Macca, I will see you on Saturday.
See you then.